Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. We got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start today's show with some bad news?
Well, this is going to be difficult to explain to the kids and the grandkids one day. A Florida woman gets arrested for a hamburger battery.
What?
Yep. Even with the country roiled in, you know, some mayhem and disease, a Florida woman still finds time to assault somebody with a hamburger, according to arrest reports. According to the police, the 47-year-old, whose name is Tanya, was arrested Monday evening following a confrontation with her boyfriend in a mobile home in Largo owned by the man's mother. The 39-year-old victim, they have four children together, according to the arrest report, thought that they were just having an argument when all of a sudden things got violent. And I guess her and her boyfriend got upset because there was something about, like, the man closing a window in her room, something really small. And that's when the woman decided she was going to pick up a hamburger and smash it in his face. When questioned by police, she denied doing so, but her boyfriend still had a hamburger in his ear upon arrival of the police. So the woman made a comment that she hoped that he choked on the burger. She was charged with domestic battery, a misdemeanor, later released from the county jail on a PR bond. A judge has ordered her to have no contact with her boyfriend.
If you wanted him to choke on the burger, maybe you should have went for the throat, not the ear.
Yeah, that does make sense. Do have some good news today to share as well, though. Deputies in Camden County, Georgia, received a call, and this is a few weeks ago in mid-May, about a man carrying a knife while walking down the interstate, which is terrifying. Things quickly changed when this man arrived, and he brought his canine partner with him. His canine is named Trogger. The knife-wielding friend didn't respond to Captain Sullivan and his demand to drop the knife. That's when the man noticed the dog. He asked if the canine was with Captain Sullivan, and when Sullivan said yes, everything changed. The suspect asked if he could pet that dog, and Captain Sullivan said, under one condition, you drop the knife. And he dropped the knife so that way he could pet that dog.
Can I pet that dog?
No, he's
sleeping. Can I pet that dog? Yeah, we're a pet dog.
So sure enough, the crazy dude with the knife just wanted to pet that dog. And once the cop said, yes, you can, he dropped his knife, and they were quickly able to apprehend him without any further incident. Isn't that nice?
Did he at least get to pet the dog?
Yeah, you let him pet the dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave, it's the power of petting, man. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a choice between getting bit by the police dog or petting the police dog, I'm going to defuse the situation by asking to pet rather than getting bit by.
Now, Ian, that clip that I just played, it does sound a lot like the little viral clip of the young man who wanted to pet that dog, but I do believe that this is actual audio from the incident, right?
Indeed it is, yes. Camden County, Georgia.
Yeah, this is from the body cam of Corporal Sullivan. Let's listen to it one more time.
Can I pet that dog?
No, he's
Can I pet that dog? Yeah, we're a pet dog.
So
he had a knife.
Yeah, he put down the knife.
What? You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So if your blood type is A, and does everyone know what their blood type is here? Audrey, do you know what yours is?
No.
Mahoney, do you know what yours is?
AAA,
that's not
I got a card. Right. I got a card in my wallet, I think, that says that.
No, that's a battery.
It could also help me get towed.
That's Ian, do you know what your blood type is?
It's whatever the universal one is. It's O something.
O?
Yeah, I know
O,
that.
O positive, I think, is the universal
one. Yeah, because they keep on getting calls. Yeah. They want my blood so bad.
Oh, do they? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well,
does it say on the back of your ID what
No,
what type
it does
you
not.
Are?
It does not. Okay. Mahoney's lying. But the DNA has shown that people that have the A blood type who catch coronavirus are 50% more likely to need oxygen or ventilator support. 50% more likely, which is kind of nuts. So hospitals in the U.S. have reported that as many as 40% of their coronavirus patients are young people in their 40s, 50s, even 20s and 30s, according to the CDC. About 30% of patients hospitalized during the week ending in May 30th were between the ages of 18 and 49. But specifically, this is really interesting research done by a team in Germany. They found that people that have an A blood type are much more likely, 50% more likely to need oxygen support or be put on mechanical ventilators compared to other blood types. So it just goes to show that we still have no idea what we're working with this whole COVID-19 thing. It's just this really strange virus that they haven't really been able to figure out. There's all sorts of things that have been surprising to researchers along the way. And I don't know, from my understanding of medicine, which, to be fair, is not that great, surprises are not good. So
no.
Here we go.
Are you saying that so if you're an overweight man who's older, mm-hmm, with you know, any sort of breathing issues and you have type A, you're pretty much, this is it for you?
I wouldn't go that far, but the odds are not in your favor, if you will, if you check all those boxes. Yeah,
I like that.
So more than 42 million Americans have now lost their jobs because of COVID-19. So, you know, not great numbers. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that as the nation gets back to work and many of the states around the country move into phase two, and that allows reopening in a lot of spots. But I mean, it really does seem like people are just, you mentioned this yesterday, Mahoney, people are just over it. Like, you look at all these bars and restaurants and everything else, and obviously all the protests too. People just are not adhering at all to the fact that there's a pandemic going on, because the narrative has changed. And so we'll see what things look like in a couple of weeks. But as of right now, COVID-19 still having a huge impact on the economy. And again, 42 million Americans have lost jobs, which is insane.
Unreal. Yeah. I mean, the highest of our lifetime, you know, here in, you know, I mean, through what was going on with the Great Recession back in 2007, 2008, you know, the dot-com bust in the early 2000s. This is crazy. But hopefully, as you said, as things continue to open up, hopefully we'll see, you know, these numbers get picking, you know, these numbers start to pick up and or actually not pick up, but, you know, go down as it continues to play out. But, man, it is, like, unheard of to hear the 40-plus million unemployed number right now.
Well, and when you talk about, you know, the unemployment rate being at 4.4% in March before the pandemic really gripped the nation, now it's at almost 15% in just a couple of months' time. That is pretty brutal, man. So hopefully, like I said, people can get back to work here as things start to reopen. The Washington Examiner has fired a writer for taking a picture with a power drill in front of the boarded up store in Los Angeles. So you guys, I'm sure, saw that clip of the girl walking up and pretending to be boarding up. Turns out that she is a conservative commentator for the Washington Examiner. And she is the one that was sitting there posing with the drill. And then as soon as her boyfriend took the picture of her, she pranced over to her Mercedes-Benz and took off as if she was actually out there doing something. And, of course, people got a shot of the license plate. They figured out who she was. And, yeah, they have fired her. So we talked about this on the show yesterday, or the other day, rather. And we were like, yeah, I don't know if she should lose her livelihood for this. But at the same time, she was an intern for the Washington Examiner. If I was the Washington Examiner and she didn't really add a lot, you're like, why do we even want her around? if she's going to be doing stuff like this and bringing all sorts of negative blowback for us. So she ended up getting the boot, and a whole bunch of stuff on her Twitter. She went through and tried to clean it all up to try to make herself look better, but it was a little too late for that.
Yeah, probably should have stopped before you decided to ask, hey, can I just do this for the gram real quick? Think before you gram.
That may be probably the most underused advice that anybody on in the U.S. uses, Audrey, right there. But I feel probably some of the most effective.
And finally, AMC Theaters. You've probably seen the reports going around these last couple of days. May go belly up. They think they say they have substantial doubt it can remain in business after shuttering all the locations during the pandemic. In April, AMC said a new debt offering would allow the company to withstand these closures until a partial reopening ahead of Thanksgiving. Quote, we are generating effectively no revenue, they said in their latest filing. The company said it had a cash balance of $718 million, which seems like a lot, right? Yeah. But despite the announcement, AMC stock was trading a little bit higher over the course of this week, up recently about 5%, because the company restructuring its debt. So they're not giving up just yet, but AMC Theaters, which is one of the biggest in the country, maybe one of the biggest in the world even, maybe going belly up because of all of this.
Well, I mean, the summer season is always when the biggest blockbusters come out. This is like the big earning season. The kids are out of school. Kids are home from college, that sort of thing. And, you know, that's when all the big blockbusters come out. And like, you know, looking at Rotten Tomatoes and looking at, like, when movies are coming out again, there's still really not anything scheduled, like any of these big movies that we were supposed to see.
Production is, I mean, it's not just now either, right? I mean, you think about next summer. I mean, there's been a hard stop for filming and production and everything else. What is that going to do to the release schedule? I can't, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, I can't even think of anything that's coming out that I'm excited about.
Mulan was supposed to be like coming out in 2020, maybe like summertime of this year. So
the new James Bond movie, the Black Widow solo movie was going to be one of the next Marvel movies.
Yeah, I just haven't seen any previews for any of that stuff. Have you?
Well, but they stopped. Months ago, they stopped like airing them because it was like, why are we marketing these movies that we don't know when they're getting ready to come out? And obviously, the bigger movies that were getting released or had just come out right before everything went into lockdown, kind of like the Invisible Man and Onward from Disney Pixar. Like those were, you know, two of the bigger ones that were supposed to, kick off the summer season. They went to direct video and had done very, very well. And Trolls, too. I mean, Dave spent at least $3,000 so far for his daughters to watch the not quite as good sequel.
$3,600 is the running tab right now. So you think about the way that do kids still go to the movies? I mean, you said all those things, Mahoney, about the summer being big and the kids being home from college, everything else. I mean, Ian, you have some younger siblings. Audrey, same for you. I mean, as teenagers, is that still like the thing to do on Friday or Saturday nights is to go to the movies? Is that still like top of the list? Because for us, when we were coming up, that was just sort of what you did, right? There wasn't anything else to do.
Go to the mall.
Is that still the thing?
I think it is. It's just, unfortunately, I don't think they're there to the movie. Because you and I both know Friday night at a premiere for a big movie, it's the most annoying place in the world. And you know those kids aren't watching the movie. They're just there to hang out. So I think it still is around. I just don't think it's going to come back, especially in the adolescent realm.
Hmm.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like people are used to watching, like I said, we saw streaming numbers go through the roof. But, I mean, once everything gets back to normal, which is that is the direction that everything is headed right now. And, obviously, there are movie theaters that are open again. Not everywhere in the U.S., but in some states there are. So, how long until we see that again or if it isn't. But wouldn't that be weird, though, if there just wasn't a place to see movies out or... Is that just not weird
really.
Anymore? I mean,
not weird. No. I mean, if movies went away, it would be weird. But for me, going to a movie theater, like if movie theaters went away, I think about once a year, I'd be disappointed for 7 minutes, and that's about it.
Right. I mean, I 100% agree with that. I think that a lot of people have just great sound systems at home. That once upon a time, you went for the experience of the sound system for action movies and war movies and just dramas, and then the big old screen TVs. And I think a lot of us in our home at least have one or the other.
I want my ass to shake because the bass is so big when I'm watching Fast and Furious 23.
Let's take a little thing. Vroom.
Just sit on something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just go sit on your dryer and turn it on high.
And Diesel talk dirty to me.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm concerned because I applied for a job and they did a credit check and I have terrible credit, but I'm a really good worker. You know, my car got repoed and it just killed my score.
Message deleted.
It's we've talked about this a lot, Mahoney, over the course of the years, because just recently it's become a more and more normal thing where some jobs will check your credit before they hire you, which is garbage. It leads to this perpetual cycle of like keeping your foot on the head of people that are trying to get ahead that have had bad things happen to them. Lots of people have had cars repossessed or houses foreclosed on or credit cards that are maxed out and missed payments, things like that. And especially during this time, the whole idea that you have to, I mean, obviously if you're buying another house or you're borrowing money from somebody else,
borrowing
of course
money,
of course your credit it matters then, and it should be vetted. But this idea that you can't get a job because your credit sucks is one of the most infuriating things that I've ever heard.
Like, I get it if, like, you are applying for a high-level security job with the government, where you're, or these private companies that are like Boeing or Raytheon or something that, like, you know, you could be extorted because you have bad credit or something, you know,
or you have access to all sorts of cash and you have a gambling problem.
Like, I mean,
there's
that,
things, yes, of course.
But, like, to work in sales at a television station, no, you should not need a credit check to work there. And also the absolute dumbest question any boss can ask when they are interviewing somebody is, why do you want to work here? Because I want to get paid. I don't want to be homeless, and I want to eat
money.
Money.
Money. M-O-N-E-Y.
Mm-hmm. No, because I really like you, Stanley. What do you think?
Like, don't ever ask that question.
I want to be able to go to the dentist without it costing me $3,000, okay?
They want to hear, I have been dreaming of being a front desk worker since I was a little girl. This has always been my aspiration.
I tell you what, to our buddy that called in a moment ago, if you have bad credit, don't worry, you can get through it. After 7 years, almost everything resets. You just have to, you know, try to start to repair things as you go. But don't feel like you're the only one out there that has garbage credit if that's the case, because there are plenty of other people that are having to deal with the same thing.
When I didn't pay for that couch many years ago, my credit got down to like 500, I think.
That's what you get. We were going to get a couch repossessed.
Well, they didn't repossess that couch. I offered to pay for it, but they did not. They screwed me. They wouldn't take the late payment off. And I was like, well, then I'm just keeping this, because if I pay you and you're still not going to get rid of it, then what is the point here? There's no point. So I kept that couch. That's right. Only took 7 years to get my credit back up.
That's right. Worth it.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney. My dog has been looking at me weird all day. Is he planning to eat me? Also, he's very cute, so don't throw that in. He's a border collie, so I know deep down he's a good boy.
Message deleted.
Oh, no, border collies are mean as hell. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? If it was a golden retriever, he would never eat you. Border collie, straight up eating you when you, as soon as you die. He's not going to eat you before you die, but when you die, border collie, going to eat the hell out of you.
Jeez.
What do you know about border collies?
All I know is my neighbor had one and always barked at me. So forget that dog.
What a robust sample size you are working with here.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Kind of odd, but yet settling still, that the new norm for leaving the house to go shopping, like I just had to run to Home Depot and, you know, a face mask, hand sanitizer, all the normal stuff. You get home, put it all in the kitchen sink, wipe it all off with soapy water. Then you go bleach the whole vehicle you were in. And, you know, it's like, it's odd, but like I said, it's kind of settling. You know, you just know you're doing what you can to help out, flatten the curve in every way possible.
Message deleted.
People that are still aware of that, they speak to my heart, you guys, because there's plenty of people out there that have just decided that they are done with COVID-19 and they're not going to worry about it anymore. People that are still going out of their way to try to keep people healthy. You are doing amazing stuff, so keep it up.
There are, you know, what is it? They say like 60 to 70% of people agree that, like, you should be wearing masks when you go out. But, like, when I go out, it's like 1%.
Yeah.
It's the people who are working there. It's the people who are working there who are wearing the mask. Like, everybody else,
it's really,
I'm
like, funny. The, like, last week, I think, Mahoney, maybe you said it, or Ian, that it was like you felt like it was 50-50 or something. I feel like in this past week, it has declined so much.
Well, just because no one's talking about it anymore, right? It used to be
the
thing everyone was talking about, and now the narrative has just changed. So, yeah, I mean, keeping an eye on being safe and being healthy and not being irresponsible when you're moving around out in public.
I'm
and
not wiping
else.
My groceries down.
No.
There's zero chance that's happening.
You stopped
I'm
doing that?
I'm bleaching my car.
No, I never wipe my groceries down, but I clean like the surfaces and handles of my car and stuff, but like groceries, I'm like, I wash my hands before and after.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not wiping a can down. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I did 2 months
happening.
Ago for sure. I was wiping it down.
I wash my hands before I eat. Like, I'll pour it in the thing, and then I'll wash my hands. Still do that.
I wash my hands, and every day I inject a little bit of bleach, and I've been fine so far. So everything's
slow
been
dose.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Small.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So we've heard these numbers from around the country of a whole lot of people not paying their mortgages right now while they try to figure out what's going on with this whole crisis. But they're not the only ones. There's also big retailers that are no longer paying their rent. Gap has stopped paying their rent during the pandemic. And Simon Property Group, which is the largest mall operator in the United States, is now suing them for a cool $66 million.
Well, they should have known this was coming. I mean, their name is Gap. There's just a gap in the payment.
A gap, yep.
There's a gap. There's a gap.
Mahoney, you need to be their PR person. Like, that's because that who could argue with that? You're like, we named our company this for this exact reason. There's going to be a gap. It's a gap. It's a $66 million gap. We anticipated this. What's the problem?
And then you have a Banana Republic, which is also falls under the gap. And they're like, well, we are a Banana Republic. We make our own rules here.
And then there's the Anarchy Clothing, which is also underneath. The 400 Gap-owned U.S. mall locations, and they haven't been making their payments. And so now we'll see what happens. But, I mean, Simon and Gap have begun to reopen in recent weeks. Gap also owns, like you said, Mahoney, Banana Republic, and Old Navy. Mm-hmm. And Old Navy is the one where people are like, hey, like Gap can go away. I don't really care. Banana Republic, don't really need it. But Old Navy, like a lot of people that I know like Old Navy.
I like Banana Republic.
Yeah, I'm a Banana Republic guy.
Yeah, are you really?
It's just expensive.
No, you got to get it on sale. You got to get it on sale. You got to get all
the Banana Republic guy?
You never pay anything less than 40% off at Banana Republic because there's always a 40% off sale coming like a week later. So don't ever pay anything more than if it's not 40% off, do not pay for it at Banana Republic.
Who would have thought that today's David Mahoney Morning Show would have turned into a master class on shopping at Banana Republic? What do you? I had no idea. That you guys
I used to exclusively shop at Banana Republic. I have. I still probably have 25 or so plaid shirts from there, and a lot of pants that no longer fit. Well, shirts no longer fit. Also, but you know.
Why do we keep pants that never fit? I do that too.
Because
we're going to get back in our fighting shape. No, we're going to get back in shape. Okay? No.
I've had those for 10 years.
It's a new me. It's going to be a new me this year.
Because I throw away my fat pants when I'm skinny, and I throw away my skinny pants when I'm fat. I'm the only reason. Like the Levi's outlet is probably still in business. Because that has happened like at least 13 times.
If they could recruit you to start shopping at Gap, everything would be fine. Like you
I don't
want to
wear chinos,
make a,
though. Yeah, girlfriend, you look so good in those.
Oh, you look so good in those. Your ankles are splendid.
No.
Yeah. You know they sell straight up cut-off jorts at Gap. I'm on their front page homepage right now looking at it.
The knees.
The high-rise distressed denim Bermuda shorts. And they're not to the knees, to like the mid-thigh, mid-quad.
Whoa.
Yep.
No, honey.
Underneath the jorts that come up to the mid-thigh, is the description, does it say something along the lines of,
I can't control my horny level.
authentic vintage stretch denim, dark indigo wash, a button fly closure, raw hem. Distressed detailing throughout. Better denim, better planet. This is part of the denim, or this pair of denim is part of a water saving wash well program. So not only are you wearing jorts, you're saving the planet at the same time. So,
but they got a button fly. Button flies are hard.
You get used to them. I prefer button fly.
Like I pee my pants every time trying to get it.
No, man, you can get those things off. I think you can get a button fly off quicker than a zipper because a zipper requires a two-handed motion. You got to pop the button and then pull down the zipper, whereas a button fly, one-handed, you can just go all the way down. Yep.
Yep. And if you actually send the buttons flying, it really sends a real message to your partner. Just a bunch of shrapnel coming their way. You're like, I'm ready.
You make $5 million for 6 weeks worth of work. You can pretend to talk with some food.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Celeb Drag.
The one thing you've dreaded from the moment you made the decision to come here.
You got a lot of nerve, boy, I'll tell you.
So the thing with Celeb Dread is we've seen a lot of these over the years, and we thought, you know what? There's so many wonderful, awkward interviews with celebrities that clearly don't want to be in a situation where they're talking to whoever it is. Many times it's a local TV morning show that's trying to be really chipper, and the celebrity's done like 30 of the interviews that day, and they're just over it. But that's not always the case, and we thought, well, let's start featuring some of these really cringeworthy interviews. But in this case, we're not talking about some celebrity that's talking to some nobody's in, you know, in Oregon, right? It's not some random morning show that they're just chatting with. This is Ellen DeGeneres, who you can make an argument is a bigger star, not even an argument, she just is a bigger star than the person she's interviewing, who is Dakota Johnson. Would you say that Dakota Johnson is best known for the 50 Shades of Grey? I mean, is that her biggest claim to fame?
I would say so.
Probably.
Her parents are also famous actors.
Were they? Oh, yeah. Don Johnson and Melanie Griffin. Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Her dad's Don Johnson? Really?
I just found out too. What the hell?
Yeah.
Really? What the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, like, her, she's, like, known, obviously, for her parents as well, but I would say probably 50 Shades of Grey.
I didn't know who she was, you know, when you first said the name. Then I'm like, okay, I see a picture of her. I'm like, okay, I know who that is. Now I'll remember because, you know, Don Johnson and Melanie Griffin, they're obviously, you know, were huge stars for many years. And she's with Chris Martin?
Yeah, she's been with Chris Martin from Coldplay for the last 3 years or so. In September.
Oh, I like her so much even more now because, you know, like anything to like anybody but Gwyneth.
Gwyneth, I was going to say anything to spite Gwyneth.
Yes.
We're game four.
ABG. Anybody but Gwyneth.
Chris Martin just has that tattooed on the inside of his eyelids.
Yeah, right?
So he sees it every time he blinks.
He goes to bed.
But so Dakota Johnson was on Ellen's show, and they're you know, Ellen always does that like cheek buddies, even though she's not buddies with a lot of these people. And yeah, there's been a lot of talk about whether Ellen is as genuine as some people like to think she is. I think Ellen's a very funny person. Whether she's a dirtbag or not, I couldn't really say. But there's definitely some interviews that go sideways with Ellen and her whole style of, you know, poking at each other. And sometimes it's not there. And this would be one of those interviews. So Dakota Johnson had a birthday party. Ellen was invited to it. Ellen didn't show up. And even though this is supposed to be kind of jokey and jovial, didn't really turn out that way. Today's Celeb Dread featuring Dakota Johnson.
Well, who doesn't want to be invited to a party?
Well, I didn't even know you liked me.
Of course I like you. You knew I liked you. You've been on the show many times, and don't I show like?
Yeah. But I did invite you, and you didn't come, so.
This time you invited me?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know? I don't think so.
Ask everybody. Ask Jonathan, your producer. Who said you were?
I was invited. Why didn't I go?
I don't know.
Was it?
You're out of town.
Oh yeah, I had that thing. It was probably in Malibu. That's too far for me to go to.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. No, I think I do remember I was invited. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, but I really didn't remember that until just now. But Tig Notaro performed at your party.
She did.
She did a set.
She did. It was a surprise.
What did she do?
A bunch of funny stuff.
She's hilarious.
She's my favorite comedian. Yeah. Other than you. Bye.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
No. I was just talking to my favorite actress the other day, Jen Aniston, and
Las Vegas, a radio.com station, broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
First up in today's Redneck Report, and you guys know how much I love when we can blend the Redneck Report and a love story. That's exactly how we start today. A man faked his wife's disappearance so she could avoid prison. Isn't that so sweet? A West Virginia woman and her husband faked her appearance by pretending that she had plummeted from an overlook as part of a scheme.
Oh, my God.
To keep her from...
It's a little dramatic.
a little extra to keep her from having to go to prison, according to authorities. Julie Wheeler and Rodney Wheeler were arrested on multiple charges, including conspiracy and giving false information to the police. State police say that Julie Wheeler was reported missing on Sunday by her husband and 17-year-old son, so he's in on it, too. Cool. The family claimed that Julie had fallen over the main overlook at the New River Gorge National Park. Authorities searched for her for days, but they found that she was actually alive and well on Tuesday, hiding in a closet in her home. A criminal complaint said that Rodney and her son planted items at the Grandview Overlook to fake her disappearance. It's unclear whether the son will also face criminal charges. She had pleaded guilty to federal health care fraud back in February after an investigation into a pill mill clinic operation. She was sentenced for that charge on June 17th of last year, and so she had her jail time coming up, and they decided to plan this elaborate thing, and so now husband and wife will be in jail together.
That is sort of sweet. There is romantic. Something sweet about, like, you know, willing to, you know, you're, that's your ride or die, you know, Bonnie and Clyde style thing going on here. I would be more, I think I would celebrate this more if she wasn't, like, running a pill mill.
Yeah.
You know, so see you later. That's one of the worst things that you could possibly be doing in this country right now with the opioid crisis that's been going on for the last decade plus. So, yeah, see you never.
Well, now they did have their romance through the toilets of jail and prison. You know, like they get to
talk to each other,
pass notes with slight fecal matter.
You remember that time when I said that you fell into a gorge? So a Florida man with the Bentley logo tattooed on his forehead raked in $120,000 through identity theft. A Florida man who has the full forehead Bentley logo was just busted by ripping off other people's identities, which you'd think would be pretty difficult to do with a large Bentley logo tattooed on your face.
Right?
He also has a shark and a star drawn on his face, and he had been running this scheme with a coworker, a 26-year-old, is accused of paying the county clerk employees to pass him names, dates of birth, social security numbers of random drivers. He then allegedly used the details to electronically file false tax returns so he could get refunds from the IRS. Not a big surprise. Dr. Bentley is headed to jail.
The Bentley logo. So imagine, like, right in the middle of his, like, I mean, we're talking smack dead, like, right in between his eyes, right on the top, like, right in the middle of his forehead, rocking the, and it looks like, you know, I mean, Audrey, you've got really nice tattoos, but this guy, my guess is, did not pay top dollar for his, or maybe, you know, seek out advice from other people who have good tattoos on, like, what artists to go to, because it looks like, somebody drew it left-handed who's right-handed.
With, like, a ballpoint pen or something? Also, you can't get a Bentley tattoo if you don't have a Bentley. Like, what are you actually writing around it?
If you have a Bentley, you do not need a Bentley tattoo.
But, like, how ridiculous is that? You pull up, you get a Bentley tattoo smack dab in the middle of your forehead, and you're riding around in, like, a 98, like, Honda whatever, like, with a spoiler on the back.
Okay, you guys are being a little bit judgmental. That's just simply his motivation, his goal board, if you will, for
his
the year.
His mind's eye right there that he's envisioning that he one day will be driving a Bentley, which is why he stole all those identities and now he's in jail.
He was just a couple of identities away from a Bentley. You guys over here hating, man.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5. Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So plenty of people out there tightening their belts right now, and understandably so. The question that we have for you, and you can text us, hit us up on social media, is what is the cheapest thing that your parents used to do when you were a kid in order to save money? So I mentioned that my mom used to dry out paper towels for a while there. Cloth diapers were a thing in the old Farrah household. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with cloth diapers, Mahoney, Ian. Do you know what those are?
I in theory, I've never used one or have put one on something. So
well,
I was a cloth diaper baby.
Strange.
Yeah, so there you go. A cloth diaper is exactly what it sounds like. It's just a diaper that's made out of cloth that you wash after each use. And if you think about the idea of, like, how filthy a diaper gets when you crap in it and then wash it.
Oh,
like, what do you even wash that in? I think it was the tub is what they would get washed in because, because that's the only thing where...
You soak it out.
That's what you gotta do.
You wouldn't want to do it in the sink, right? Because that's where your hands go or your dishes go. And so, I mean, cloth diapers were a very real thing, though, when I was coming up. And, Audrey, I'm glad to hear that you also were a cloth diaper baby.
Oh, yeah. I was a cloth diaper baby. And my parents, whenever we were, I was really young, used to take me to Walmart or any toy store to play with the toys that were out of packaging. So I got to play with some toys.
Christy said, that's pretty funny. We had a lot of Hamburger Helper when I was a kid, so much so that I can't stand the stuff anymore. In fact, I haven't even eaten it as an adult. Just hard stop on that. And speaking of food, Joe on Facebook, at David Mahoney, said, take Ziploc bags to buffets to have leftovers, and also my mom would bring the big movie purse with her that had the snacks stored in it so we didn't have to buy concessions at theater.
I don't even think they are a parent if you were not bringing in a big purse. Like, you have failed on every level if you are not bringing in that big purse with a bag full of goodies in there, because... That I feel like there are a few things that are like distinctly American. That is one of them.
And who can't relate to this one? Diana said, reusing butter containers as Tupperware. Can't believe it's not butter. You can if you're Mexican. Yep. Diana, I know, I mean, that might be a Mexican thing as well, but also poor kid from Minnesota. You'd open
Missouri.
Up our fridge and it looked
Alabama.
Like, you're like, why do you have 13 things of country crock in there? You're like, well.
Why is there spaghetti in all of them?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
The cheap things that your parents used to do when you were a kid in order to save money. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of people that are saving money nowadays and trying to figure their way through this time. But what is the cheapest thing at the top of your list? Audrey, you mentioned that the old country crock containers used to have spaghetti that would get saved in it. Did your mom or dad ever do the stretching out of the spaghetti? Because that was something that was big for my mom, is that she always wanted to stretch everything out as much as possible. When you have, you know, 8 mouths to feed, it's a lot of food that it takes every day. Just, well, no. So what she would do is she would water down the spaghetti sauce. So that way you still had spaghetti sauce, but you would just add water to it in order to make it seem like there was more spaghetti sauce when really it was just diluted. But yeah, it was a... That was also a regular occurrence in our house, and was fine with that too. I just got used to really. So when I had regular spaghetti with normal spaghetti sauce, what a luxury!
Would you make spaghetti for like the entire like next 2 weeks, or was it just like for that day?
It was for that day, and then there were some leftovers. Again, I mean, you got to think that there's 5 boys and one girl along with two parents. I mean, there was a lot of mouths to feed. So stretching out whatever it was that we were making. Annalee said, my dad used to buy one movie ticket and then go to the fire exit and let the rest of the family in, and we'd spend the whole day watching movies. He'd also grab the large popcorn bucket from the trash to get a free refill so we could snack. Occasionally, if they were busy, I'd find an empty candy box and tell the clerk that I dropped it and I wanted a new one. And it worked about 50% of the time. This was back in like 1998, before there were so many safeguards in place. But I mean, popping that back door at the movie theater, not something I did with the family, but with the friends. Oh, yeah. Look out.
To go get into R-rated movies.
Yeah.
What?
Kind of expanding upon what you said, Dave. So my mom would make spaghetti for like 2 weeks in a row. She would make a giant pot of spaghetti. And that would be, so instead of, because I mean, there was only 3 of us versus, you know, like 22 of the Farrahs. So, you know, she would make a giant pot and it would last like 2 weeks. She would do that with chili as well. But I wouldn't even say the cheapest thing that they did, because, you know, I don't know if this is cheap or just smart, but like my dad had like a 1984 Volvo station wagon. Mm-hmm. That had seen some stuff. You know, as you know, if you've got a car in the Midwest, and especially like those older cars from back in the day, they rusted like crazy.
Rusted.
And so
insane.
I think he had that car until the year 2000 or so. So I feel like he had that car for almost 20 years or so. But I hated it because they called it the cow, because it was white and it had black spots, so it looked like a milk cow.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And like, I would have him drop me off at like I wouldn't want
down
him to drop me off. Yes, because I was so like ashamed of that car, which is such a dick move for me as a
just
kid.
As a kid, yeah, you're like,
oh yeah,
I'm ashamed of your vehicle, Dad. Drop me off down the block. Meanwhile,
he's got a car that he knows how to fix. He put 350, 400,000 miles on that car, and it was paid off for 20 years. Like, now as an adult, like, I'm with bills in, I'm like, man, I wish I knew how to fix anything on my car. So that I would say that was probably the biggest money-saving thing that we did in our household.
Bear said, when it comes to food, how about powdered milk? I've told you guys before that powdered milk was a thing in my house for a brief while. But again, you think how fast milk goes when you've got a whole bunch of people that are chugging it down. Powdered milk is the devil, though. It is the worst tasting garbage
I've never
tried it. Oh, I want to try it so bad.
So there was a family that lived across the way from us, and I can't remember if maybe the dad was just lactose intolerance or something. He had something that was very specific about his diet, and so powdered milk was a regular thing for them. But, I mean, it's bad. It's real bad. Like, you can't even put it on cereal and have it taste good.
One of the things I noticed about milk prices whenever I moved out to Nevada, just out west in general, is that it costs like $3 more than back home. So I can imagine trying to raise a big family right now and having to buy like $5 gallons of milk. And it go away in like 2 days, especially if you've got one kid who can drink a gallon a day. Because some people are like still, did you guys grow up eating milk or drinking milk with dinner?
Yeah, like, but I never drank like never a gallon a day. I would say maybe a gallon a week.
You got to think that we were in the Blitz when we were growing up, when big milk was really making a push. You know, the whole milk, it does a body good. And if you just drink milk with every meal, then you're going to have a supermodel girlfriend and you're going to be a star football player. I mean, those were actually the commercials that they used to put on TV where you'd see your future self and you're sitting there shirtless with a hot chick in a bikini that's draped over your arm. And you're like, well, might as well have some more milk. I mean, damn.
Drink some milk.
That's pretty good.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The cheap stuff your parents used to do in order to save money. Kim over on Facebook said, my dad would buy our shoes two sizes too big because we would, quote, grow into them. We never did. Because before you grew into them, you would always have ruined them because you were constantly tripping over them and getting holes in them because you bought them too big, Dad. Andy said, my parents used to work at a tortilla-making factory back in the day, and they used to bring home a lot of tortillas, and me and my siblings, as well as my parents, would make anything that you could think of with a tasty tortilla. Butter, warm tortilla. Mayonnaise, warm tortilla. Peanut butter, warm tortilla. Okay. Bean burritos. And if there was some money to spare for a treat, my parents would buy donuts on a Friday night and those big brown industrial ice cream barrels to last the entire summer. So, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like,
you would actually see it like Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, like the big paper tubs. They would somehow get their hands on one of those, and sure enough, they would just.
I wish I had a freezer big enough to.
Yeah,
one
where
of
do
those
you even
in.
Store that thing? That's amazing. You'd have to have one of those like garage freezers that you know you can store a body in.
Which, not by the way, those aren't as expensive as you would think.
A deep freezer.
Yeah.
Have you been pricing them out recently?
So I was talking to my mom because we had one growing up. And then unfortunately, you know, we bought one like used at a garage sale, but it was like one from the 70s. So it weighed like 900 pounds, you know, and my mom and my dad tried to like bring it down the stairs into our basement. Yeah. And it almost killed my dad and it broke my mom's arm because she slipped and the thing goes like down. The thing hits one of the stairs and then goes like basically to like crush him. But gets propped up against the other part. But as it fell down, like hit her right in the middle of her arm, broke her arm. But so her recommendation to me is they make stand up deep freezes. So it's like basically like looks like a refrigerator, but you don't have to like she said because when you have one of those like the open from the top ones, you're always just digging around for stuff. Yeah. Whereas the stand up ones, it's just like a regular fridge.
Oh,
yeah. Kathy,
pro tip action.
Kathy said, we used to use the oven to warm the house, really just the kitchen and the living room during the winter. Slept in the car on road trips instead of getting a hotel room. Three kids in the back seat of a Monte Carlo. Hell yeah.
Though I would say, do not warm your house with the oven. Yeah, that is very dangerous.
Nate said, my grandpa used to pull old nails out of wood, and no matter how rusted or bent, he would straighten it out and then put it in a coffee can for later use. He had hundreds of those coffee cans filled with nails. Didn't want to buy new nails, so just go ahead and pull the old rusted one out. That just sounds like a tetanus shot waiting to happen, doesn't it?
I feel like that was like your grandfather, your great grandfather, all of them did that back in the day. Because I remember every great like both of my great grandparents' house that I went to had like tons of cans of nails.
Mm-hmm. And you
like
never understood
in, like,
why.
Coffee jars. Yeah. Yep.
And, but so all of our grandparents. you know, went through the Great Depression, right? And so they passed a lot of that down to our parents, and now we get to go through another one. So isn't this great? We you know, we get to relive all those wonderful memories. Alan said we used to use bread for sandwiches or hamburger buns or hot dog buns or whatever else we could find. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not using a bread, if you've never used a piece of bread for a hot dog bun, you have lived a sheltered ass life.
Yeah.
Warren said 90% of my clothes came from yard sales. Sometimes you can find some good stuff. Ian, you still get a lot of your clothes from yard sales, thrift shops, everything else, just because you like the hunt process, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's the fun part. But it was instilled in me by my mom, who would take us to Salvation Armies all the time when we were little because she didn't want to go to the big box stores and waste the rent there. So we just went to the Salvation Army. It was awesome.
And maybe the best one.
Oh, I was going to say, didn't Ian just find a new bamboo holder or whatever it was in the trash can?
Yeah, we found that in the trash. So, we have a nice bamboo ornament now in the house.
But you can find so many good things from the trash or even like on the side of the road. We used to do that all the time.
When people put their trash out, like you like slowly drive by. Like, what was that? And then you knew it was real good. When Ma put the minivan in reverse, you're like, oh, we going back for another look.
We're getting it.
This one may be the best one that we've ever heard. Treasure said, I have a twin sister. They only had medical insurance for me. So let's just say I was sick a lot, about twice as much as I should have been.
Wow.
That is a boss move right there. That is awesome.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Can we all just agree that Ryan Seacrest is one of the creepiest humans alive right now? He's like a walking doll, and all his expressions or mannerisms are so robotic and fake.
Message deleted.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that Ryan Seacrest is not creepy, if that makes sense. I mean, I think that you could say that he's a little creepy, but he's nowhere near one of the creepiest people alive. Not even by a mile.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like a very well-manicured man. And, you know, yes, he's not an amazing personality, but you know what? He's a good host, and he's made hundreds of millions of dollars because of it.
Yeah.
Well, and he also works his ass off too, right? I mean, he's got, you think about it, he makes $30 million a year just doing his radio show. Then he's, you know, also hosts with, he does the Kelly and Ryan.
Or 30 or 25 for that.
25 million for that. And then he's also, you know, American Idol, which I think he's still pulling in about $20 million a year from that. You're like, dude, and then you think about all the behind the scenes stuff too.
He owns all the Dick Clark production stuff.
Dick Clark Productions. He does the New Year's Eve. He's an executive producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I mean, like,
is he really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Seacrest is responsible for the Kardashians.
Yep.
You're welcome.
And
holy crap.
Okay. you didn't know that, right? And then you're like, oh my God, the amount of money that he is making off of that alone is obscene because they've been on the air for what, the past 15 years now? I mean, it's like, you know, that show's been going on forever. And then on top of that, I mean, he does all of the red carpet stuff still for E. I mean, he is all over the place, man.
I'm no fan, but you know what? I don't knock the hustle.
He works his ass off.
Make your money.
And okay, so after all of those things that we just listed, and I know we played the clip a couple days ago, for him to have one slip up in that giant amount of time and him doing all of these different things, and the one time he slips up, all of us are like, he had a Caesar!
Everyone's like, he's stroking out on air. Like, no, he's probably just tired. Like, and it wasn't even that bad of a screw up. It's just no one's used to seeing Ryan Seacrest screw up at all. And so everyone melts down when he messes up saying Aretha Franklin one time.
Wait till you hear the blooper reel later on this morning from us, which is only like 5 days worth of shows. So get ready.
No, it's bad.
Please leave a message after the tone.
All right. Of all of you, who do you think has some stuff floating around the internet that would really embarrass them? Like, I'm talking like anything, videos, like pictures, comments, old posts, blogs, anything.
Message deleted.
Mahoney does a pretty good job scrubbing, so I would say probably not Mahoney. Maybe there's some embarrassing stuff. I mean, I had questionable fashion sense not that long ago, so uh, may, maybe some pictures of me from when I was younger, but I do feel like we're in the last generation to not have every embarrassing thing that we've ever done totally
like
chronicled.
All of our puberty pictures that are, on Instagram or Facebook or whatever social media platform du jour. Yeah, no, I'm glad those don't exist. But I did find, Dave, I found an old blog that I wrote. Like, because I had a website. I owned MahoneySucks.com back in the day, and that was my like blog website. And I found I was looking at like posts from like 2007.
Were you just so emotional at the time?
No. This was like a work one. Okay. This was like for the station. But there was still like just really dumb bad stuff on there. I was like, man, I love the new Static X track, and I'm like, that didn't age well.
Did I?
R.I.P. Wayne. R.I.P.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You know what really sucks? Movies with jump scares. I hate them so much.
Yep.
I can't watch any movies with them because I'll just be an anxious mess.
Message deleted.
The worst.
So I remember one time they were doing this casting for this TV show. Do you guys remember? I forget what the show was called, but they would prank people. So they would walk into a room and they would have this whole thing set up where like something scary would just spot. Scare tactics.
Doherty one?
Scare
tactics. Is this the
yes.
one?
Yeah. Scare tactics was the show. And they were asking me, they're like, hey, do you know anyone who would be good for this? And Mahoney, this is back in, I want to say like 2006 or something like that, right around the time that all the UFC stuff was going crazy. And so they're like, hey, do you have anyone that was good for this? I'm like, well, I know a couple of guys that are starting to gain some notoriety as fighters. And they're like, yeah, no, that's the last thing that we want, because if you scare one of those dudes, they're going to throw an actress through a wall. So, but no, I'm with you on the whole idea of like going to a movie that intentionally tries to like get you to jump out of your seat. I've always hated that stuff, man. Always.
The jump scare is the laziest horror movie camera trick, thing that they can do. You know, like I always thought like a good, solid psychological thriller, obviously The Shining. Really stands out. I thought the very first Scream movie, it wasn't super graphic. They didn't use a lot of jump scares in there. I thought just it was a very good written, well-written psychological thriller. But like, it's just like, I remember going to see the like Exorcist 2, whatever it was, the only movie in my entire life I've ever walked out of, because every single like scary part was just like a jump scare where everything gets really quiet. And then all of a sudden, pans, and then the loudest noise on the planet, and you're like, okay, I'm good. And I was like, I've seen enough of this garbage. I'm out. Only movie I've ever walked out of.
Did you mess your pants?
No, I didn't. I did not. I had a gallbladder back then, Dave. So I had my innards were like steel back then, until you destroyed my gallbladder, and now I'm a shell of a man that what I used to be.
KXTE-FM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. Inside the entertainment capital of the world. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I can't tell if this is really ignorant or incredibly aware of your surroundings. So the mayor of Cleveland, his name is Frank Jackson. He painted a rather unflattering portrait of what he believes to be the perception of his city. He said, even though Cleveland is perceived to be the butthole of the world sometimes, right? That's not the case. And you're like,
I wouldn't say butthole of the world, but definitely like the U.S. Yeah. major cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the world. No, you're still way better than a lot of stuff out there, Cleveland. Don't sell yourself
Ohio
short
itself
there.
Is kind of just like the butthole.
The butthole? Yeah,
I mean,
butthole.
It is shaped like a butthole. It is. Ohio is shaped like a butthole.
Yeah.
And like, and Florida's the grundle.
and Florida's also shaped like a grundle, amongst other things, I suppose. But here's the mayor of Cleveland.
And even though Cleveland is perceived to be the butthole of the world sometime, right?
Sometimes.
I'm not mad at it. Whatever, man. Like, you live there. You know what's going on. I mean, literally, the name of their football team is the Browns. So, come on.
And even though Cleveland is perceived to be the butthole of the world sometime, right?
It just sounds so funny because, like, he sounds so proper, and he's old, and he's talking about buttholes.
Yeah, what he wants to know, is it a beehole right out of the shower, though?
No.
Ooh, yeah, oh, it's not. Careful now.
No.
Let's get clean.
I can't control my horny level.
So Jake Paul has been charged after looting in Scottsdale. Of course, you know, big social media influencer.
What a shame.
Been charged, yeah, been charged by the cops after he participated in weekend looting and riots. Say the 23-year-old was identified because there's a whole bunch of people that recognized him, even though he had a mask on. He reported unlawfully entered and remained inside the Scottsdale Fashion Square Mall after it was closed. They were just wrecking all kinds of stuff. The Paul brothers can just walk, take a long walk off of a short plank. Those guys suck, man.
Yeah, I'm no fan of either one, and I don't think Jake Paul was looting to be. They're going to charge him with trespassing because that's what. I don't think he was in there stealing. The guy's worth. It's obscene what he's worth. That guy makes millions of dollars on YouTube by putting out the dumbest videos ever. But I will say, Logan Paul got into his fair share a couple years ago with that his dumb video when he went into one of these, you know, kind of like sacred forests where people like go and they commit suicide in Japan. It's a really sad thing, and they were like filming in there, and it's just kind of disgusting. But I did see a video from Logan Paul.
They were mocking the people that were that were actually dead, hanging from trees.
Yeah. I did see a video from Logan Paul. What was it? 2 days ago, 2-3 days ago, where he did come out and actually was, you know, He was speaking out about everything that's going on in the world right now. And actually, you know, I was like, okay, you know, I mean,
nine million views just on Twitter alone.
People can grow. And I'm not going to, like, hey, if you were dumb in the past and you're working to make yourself better, good. But, you know, I don't know what the hell his brother was doing, like, why you were out there trying to get video
clicks.
Like, when, you know, and also if you're going to go, like, to where the protests are, like, their strongest, like, why are you going to Scottsdale? Like, I mean, you're going to the richest area of, like, the Arizona area, you know, it's like, come on, man. Like, you went to the most expensive mall in the Phoenix Scottsdale area. It's like, God,
and you got to think about what his demographic is and who he's talking to. It's teens who are watching him,
kids.
Right? So, like, he's like showing off the looting and the rioting to teens to make them almost think that behavior was okay.
Film it and get internet clout. Like,
right. And that's not the point of any of these. And also not the point here. The three men in Las Vegas have ties to a right-wing extremist group, and guess what? The extremist group wants to overthrow the U.S. government. They have been arrested on terrorism-related charges, and what authorities say was a conspiracy to intentionally spark violence during the recent protests in Las Vegas. So federal prosecutors say the three dudes, who are all white, have U.S. military experience, are accused of conspiring to carry out a plan that began in April in conjunction with protests. The three and the protests back in April were the ones to reopen the country, right? And now, obviously, that has totally shifted. But the three men were arrested on Saturday for making their way to a protest in downtown after filling gas cans at a parking lot to make Molotov cocktails in glass bottles, according to the...
They wanted to firebomb a power substation as well.
Yep, and this is according to the Associated Press. So a 35-year-old by the name of Stephen Parshall, a 23-year-old by the name of Andrew Lynham, and a 40-year-old by the name of William Loomis were all being held in Clark County Jail on $1 million bond each. And there's just no room for that. We talk about it plenty here on the program that, I mean, the people that are out there peacefully protesting are getting subverted by people that are intentionally going out just to cause problems.
They're hurting people on both sides.
Internet,
whether
it's internet clout or you're actually trying to overthrow the U.S. government, either
not
one,
gonna happen.
Not acceptable. So good luck to you losers. Glad that you got caught.
And
I'm
let's
glad
just
that
talk about that for 1 second, too, because these guys, I am so angry at this. You have, I mean,
agreed.
The first off, for causing violence in our community is just the absolute worst.
Everywhere.
Throw the book at these idiots. But they're a part of a group called the Boogaloo Boys. And if you don't know what this is, Dave, and I informed Dave and Ian and Audrey of what this was yesterday. If you haven't heard about this, I'm not surprised. It's like, you know, this is one of these kind of deep internet chat room alt-right groups that have that want to overthrow the government. But their thing is, they wear Tommy Bahama shirts, and they want to bring on the second American Civil War, and so they're calling it the Boogaloo after breaking to the Electric Boogaloo, which, you know, as we know, that I've been rocking the Tommy Bahama shirts for years. Last summer was Summer of Bahama 2, Electric Boogaloo. This is nothing like that. I feel like somebody in a chat room made the stupidest thing that they could come up with, and these idiots bit into it and took it hook, line, and sinker and formed some hate group and are now trying to overthrow the government.
And Mahoney is so mad because they're wearing Tommy Bahama shirts, yep. And that's his thing.
Well,
so now,
I had to have a serious conversation with my wife the other day. I'm like, I don't, like... Like I'm not again. Like I do not want like these supremacy groups and these super alt groups that want to overthrow the government. They're disgusting. But like I don't want to be out in public wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt and somebody look at me and think that's that guy. I'm a part of that. But which really sucks because this is my entire summer attire. I have 15 Tommy Bahama shirts, and I don't have anything else to wear.
So much money.
Poor Mahoney.
I am not affiliated with any way, shape, or form.
The Boogaloo group was going to try to overthrow the U.S. government, and instead they're overthrowing Mahoney's wardrobe.
Mahoney.
So, just missed it.
The David Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
So The Internet is Awesome is pretty simple in concept. It's just some of our favorite audio from the last handful of days that we've been doing the show. And this is from Tipsy or Toddler. And this is a young toddler that's talking about, I believe, her mom having a baby, right? And so it's her describing... I don't know who she's describing it to. Ian, do you remember? Is she talking to a sibling or something? Or is she actually talking to her mom?
She was actually recording a video for one of her relatives who was pregnant. So she was being recorded by her mother, and she was just sending her a nice message and a very anatomically correct message as well.
Very aware of how childbirth works at such a young age.
I hope the baby comes soon, and you're really excited. And also, I hope the baby comes out of your private. Thank you.
Hope the baby comes out of your private.
Oh, God.
Let's bounce over to one of our favorite audio clips from Cover Your Ears. This, you know, is a cover song that was uploaded online. Audrey, unfortunately, did not get this, even though it had multiple correct answers. Limp Bizkit and or George Michael doing this little number.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like me.
But I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play. Because
I need some time off from that emotion. Time to pick my heart up off the floor.
So bad.
Oh, that's it.
I mean, like, that doesn't sound like the gotta have faith at all.
The chorus is just what Audrey just did right there. It's gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. But the timing, that's what kills
me. The timing is so bad. It's so bad.
Like, and Cover Your
Ears. How did you, one or two guys?
It is, that was two gentlemen in two different rooms.
Okay.
That
only
was
two.
How did you miss it by 4 seconds, man? Like, you just, what's going on here? Jason Derulo was on TikTok, and he was, have you ever seen somebody eat the like a husk of corn on the cob off of a drill? He was doing it, only he knocked out his front teeth in the process.
Hey, have y'all seen this? I've always wanted to try it. Life hack.
Oh, God. Just knocked his front teeth clean out. Clean out.
Sounds like a dying cat.
Speaking of dying cats, this is a 103-year-old over in Poland who beat the coronavirus. And then she decided that she was going, which is pretty unbelievable, right? At 103 to beat COVID-19, considering all of the risks that come along with that. And then after
she survived?
Well, she got the all clear. And she decided that she was going to crack open a beer and chug it right there, which is pretty great, right? I mean, you're like, okay, good for you celebrating. We really thought this was going to be a sweet clip of a 103-year-old lady talking about beating COVID, and it is quite the opposite. This is terrifying.
Clear coal.
How is it? Good?
Yeah. That's cold. What's the cold thing?
It's the best when it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What a nightmare.
Oh, God.
At least what comes from the shadows.
Glad you made it. Glad you made it.
Me too. Oof. I got one more from Cover Your Ears, since somebody over that was watching over on Facebook said Smash Mouth. Excuse me, Ned said that over on Twitch. Got a mix here that is in fact Smash Mouth, but it's together with the Cranberries. And who knew that the Cranberries and Smash Mouth went together so very well?
Ian, who's the artist who produced this? What is the streamer's name?
Oh, off the top of my head, I can't. Let me look that up. Let's play the clip, and I'll give the name. But he's known for doing videos just like this. But again, okay. Blended so well.
So well. Let's have a listen. So
that
perfect.
That particular streamer, his name is John Sedano. He actually has 1.05 million subscribers on his YouTube channel.
Here for
the majority of them are Smash Mouth covers.
God bless him.
How did you make all your money? Smash Mouth.
He's making more money off his Smash Mouth covers than Smash Mouth actually is.
off of being Smash Mouth. And to that I say,
I can't control my horny level.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So the casinos are reopened here in Las Vegas, and some gamblers are calling it the, quote, best day ever. I don't know if you guys saw the videos that were floating around yesterday, but they're swinging the doors open at the Bellagio. The fountains are going again. There's life in all these casinos. My brother went down to the Venetian. He is doing a staycation there because it's his wife's birthday this weekend. And so they just decided, you know, look, she has a few days off of work. And so they wanted to celebrate, and they wanted to go down to Venetian because we talked a lot about that. They've handled everything so well, paying their employees as well as like the employees of the restaurants that are in the Venetian throughout this entire thing. And so they're like, let's go there and support them. They ended up getting an upgrade to their room just because, and the room that they put them in, I mean, because all the rooms at the Venetian are, they have suites there, right? And so they're all very nice rooms. In this case, they upgraded them to a room, and my brother actually sent me pictures because I'm like, I don't believe you. But it's got a whole living room. It's got a dining room. It's got a full bar. It's got three bathrooms. It's got a gym and a sauna in the room. It's insane. So the fact that they're starting to roll out some of this stuff to locals as well is pretty great. My brother texted me early yesterday. I think it was before dinner time. And he said that he'd won $1,000 playing roulette. He's like, should I stop now? And I'm like, yeah, you should.
Yes.
And guess what? I didn't get any other messages from him the rest of the night, which means he didn't stop and he lost it all.
No.
Yes, of course he did. But people are very excited to be able to get back out into the casinos, as well as just the local watering holes, right? The PTs, the Born and Raised, the Distills, all of that stuff. I mean, there's so many great bars around town, and there's so many people that are able to get back to work finally because gaming is going again. I imagine this weekend, I mean, even before a lot of that stuff was open, these places were jam-packed. I imagine that it's going to be very, very full at a lot of these spots around town for this weekend, certainly, and we'll see how things go from here. But very exciting times.
I don't know if you saw yesterday, one of our friends, Michelle from PR Plus, she was out last night playing the machines. Hit a royal.
Really?
Day one back.
For how much was it? Loaded?
I assume it was because she gambles
she
like
plays
you
pretty,
and I do.
She plays pretty heavy.
So I assume that it was loaded, but I'd have to go back and look. But like day one back hitting a royal, like that sets a bad precedent though. Like you're like.
Well, last time her and I hung out, she literally hit like a grand in a matter of 30 minutes. So I was like, okay, I need to watch and spectate all of you guys who are winning all this money. I need to see what you because I am losing all the time.
I'll sit there and
win. You want me in your business.
I'll sit there and hit $1,000 and I'm like, cool, now I have more money to gamble with. Like, that's the problem is that when you're sitting there playing like, you know, $5 a push or whatever it is, $8 a push sometimes, that money goes real fast. So I know that there's a lot of local businesses. I mean, we talked about PTs. There are obviously a lot of people employed by them here in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I can't really see what you're doing there, Mahoney. I mean, I see that it's a
can you
looks
zoom
like
in?
It, but
Yeah, it was loaded. It was a loaded one.
There is a whole lot of local people that are getting back to work because there's bars on every single corner in Las Vegas, and there's people obviously that work at those bars, front of house, back of house, the investors. I mean, there's a lot of people that are getting back to work as of right now because gaming is back. So, and the numbers here in Las Vegas for COVID have been continually trending down, even with the moving into phase two. So obviously we're going to find out in a couple of weeks, you know, whether all the protests and the casinos opening does have an effect, but everything has been looking good, hospitalizations, all of that stuff. So, if this is the end and we're able to move into phase three and get back to what is fully normal-ish life, it is very, very encouraging because...
Oh, yeah.
Nevada did a really spectacular job shutting down. Now we just have to convince everyone to come to Las Vegas and it's safe, and we won't really know that answer for a couple of weeks. But Mahoney, I know that you follow the stock market pretty closely, just nationally, because we saw a bunch of people getting rehired in the month of May. The stock market today is up nearly 1,000 points. I mean, we are
almost back to where we were before all this. I think that what was the highest we hit was 30. I mean, we're pretty close. I am
27,000. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still astounded that the stock market is as high as it is. And obviously, you know, that's an indicator on stocks. You can't just, you know, base the economy off of what's going on in the stock market. Those are two completely different things. But, you know, they are obviously connected in a way. But like, I still feel like, I don't know if it just... I have that same feeling I had again around January where I'm like, man, I should pull out. Like, I feel like we're back to, like, kind of where we were. I'm like, oh, God. I feel like I should just, like, hold out. Because I feel like, doesn't it feel like things are getting good? Like, good things are happening again? So I don't know if it's just the eternal pessimist in me that goes, bad things are about ready to happen.
I don't know.
I think that just yesterday we reported that the COVID is actually like declining in its strength.
Well,
so
here in the,
she's getting
in the
weaker.
US, it
is. So,
I don't even think that. I think that was
from Italy. So some researchers in Italy, other health experts disagreed with that though. So I mean, you know, that's the hope though, right? Is that it is in fact weakening? And you're right. I mean, like if COVID's weakening and or we're getting closer to a vaccine, then that's a big thing. But it's also possible.
New York just had zero deaths reported. Like, I mean, first
time
since March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that you don't buy into the good things happening because we've gotten so used to bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, when's the last time that I got a really good email that was exciting news or just great? Because I mean, that's the only real form of communication that I have with the outside, like business world, right? Like, when's the last time that I got, oh, like this is a cool opportunity or something's coming up, or, you know, here's a money making thing or whatever it is. It's just all been like, okay, this is canceled, this is canceled, this is canceled, this is canceled. I've just gotten so used to bad news that any good news, I'm the same. Like, I don't believe it. I'm just like,
I just like, I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form, and don't anybody like actually listen to me. But I mean, like I the way I see it, we're 5 months away from election, and no matter what happens after that election, I feel like we're going off a cliff. Like I feel like the stock market's going off a massive cliff, like November 4th, no matter what. So I don't know. That's just me. That's just me because it's like.
Well, Henry over on Facebook agrees with you. He said we are simply hitting the eye of the storm. Don't be fooled. Mahoney and Nostradamus.
Mahonstradamus.
Hostradamus.
Yeah. Hostradamus?
Yeah.
Wasn't that your nickname in college, Audrey?
Yeah, I was a little promiscuous. Yeah.
Hostradamus. Mahoney, what?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Time for an all-new blooper reel, and this is pretty simple how this works. Ian combs through all of the broadcasts that we do every single week, and he finds the not-so-fine moments. He finds the embarrassing moments, and he pulls them out, and he puts them together, and he presents them to us so that way we can be further embarrassed by how awful we are at this job that we've been doing for oh so many years.
Yeah, we're like on, what, year 11, going on year 12 for the show, you would think? Because it's like, what, you need 10,000 hours of doing something to become a master, and we are way past that. And
way past it.
We're the master of something.
Yeah, here we go. All new blooper reel.
It's the that's the blooper reel.
The garage didn't actually turn up any meth, so that's good. Craig William Rogers, 49, was arrested on suspicion. Craig William Rogers, 49, was arrested on suspicion.
How's, is that beer going to get hot?
Yeah, are you going to, like, airdrop it, like, fridge? Modern Warfare style, yeah. Like, along the trail? Like, how am I getting this beer? Airdrop it, like, fridge? Modern Warfare style.
So, like, we're always weighing out, like, essentially, they're, I don't even know, basically just brats. Essentially, they're, I don't even know, basically just brats.
As of Wednesday of this week, it is lifting travel restrictions, allowing residents to move freely between regions. It is lifting travel restrictions, allowing residents to move freely between regions.
What is the percentage of that? Like 1.5, 2%?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Got no clue.
Of their network?
Sure.
Yeah.
Got no clue. Yeah.
Of their network. You know, we're trying to figure out the world of, like, the, you know, SEO and trying to figure out, like, how these Twitter and Facebook and all the other algorithms work. Trying to figure out, like, how these Twitter and Facebook and all the other algorithms work.
Essentially, they're, I don't even know. Basically just brats.
It is lifting travel restrictions, allowing residents to move freely between regions.
Airdrop it like Modern Warfare style.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got no clue. Sure.
Yeah.
Got no clue.
Oh, Ian.
Trying to figure out, like, how these Twitter and Facebook and all the other algorithms work.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075. X1075 presents Radio.com's Salute to Seniors.
The Salute to Seniors is something that we've been doing here on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show for the last couple of weeks, and it's because the seniors in Las Vegas didn't get a chance to walk across the stage. And so, instead, parents are doing everything they can, which included, at least for a long time there, a lot of drive-by graduation celebrations. I don't know if you guys saw the signs up around town with people bragging on their kids graduating from high school and everything else. Really, really cool to see those tributes. And an additional tribute, parents are submitting their graduating teens information on our website at x1075lasvegas.com. And here we go with a shout out for Joe Galvin. Said, "We are so proud of you. Can't wait to see what the future has in store for you. Love your entire family." It's brought to us by our friends at Blue Apple Electric. Not a bad apple in the bunch. Need a local electrician near you? Call 702-793-2800.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
During the day and age of social media, everybody's got a voice, right? Everyone's got a platform. Everyone's on social media and has something to say about it. Celebrities that just get on there and bark and don't do anything beyond that, you're kind of like, are you doing as much as you can? But there are some celebrities. We talked about Dak Prescott yesterday, quarterback for the Cowboys, that stepped up with $1 million of his own money. And now how about this? Kanye West is giving a big assist to the families that have the legal teams that are fighting for justice. Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, and he is stepping up with $2 million to the cause and set up $529 college savings fund to fully cover tuition for George Floyd's six-year-old daughter, Gianna. So how cool is that? Wow. He's decided that he's going to pay for her entire college education. He's going to cover all of it. She's only 6 years old. I'm sure that you've seen the videos of her that have been floating around talking about how her dad changed the world. And, you know, you're talking about a six-year-old having to process all of this. That's impossible to do. And, you know, the news cycle will eventually move on, right? It always does. And so in 12 years from now, is anyone going to remember who she is? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that thanks to Kanye West, and normally I'm not a big fan of Kanye and what he does, but 12 years from now, she is going to have her college taken care of thanks to him. So that's a big move by
Kanye.
That is
amazing.
Yep.
Kanye is a interesting character. He is sometimes so brilliant and sometimes so stupid. I love what he's doing right here. But one of the things that they don't know, and you know, one of the things I do appreciate about him and his wife, Kim Kardashian, is that they've always focused on prison reform. And they've actually got some of that passed. And like, as much as I dislike the Kardashians and I think they're doing a lot of harm, this, you know, their Kim's work and Kanye's work on prison reform is actually, you know, a really good step in a positive direction. So, you know, even with some of the dumb stuff that we're subjected to from them, there is some good that comes out of it. So,
yeah, I mean, there's something.
Who would have thought it would have been
douches,
Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. Out of
well,
out
I mean,
of
her
all
dad's
people,
a lawyer. Her dad was a lawyer, too, if you remember, you know, Robert Kardashian.
Absolutely.
You know,
but of all the people who have been able to have that opportunity, it took Kim Kardashian to pave the way.
Yeah.
Jared over on Facebook said Kanye West is a weirdo, but he is a great man. And yeah, he does a lot of weird stuff, but he does a lot of good stuff too.
I wish he would go back to making music like he used to, though, because his new stuff sucks.
Mm, graduation.
But like the first three, four albums, I mean, everything up to like, what was it, 808 and Heartbreaks or whatever. I loved maybe in the first five albums that he put out. But this new stuff is just like The Life of Pablo and Yeezus. Not feeling it.
Audrey, you're a big fan of Patrick Dempsey, right? From Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, that's daddy. Woo, yes.
Yeah. Well, he is making his return to television. So CW announced on Wednesday that it has brought the 54-year-old actor's Italian series Devils to help fill out its fall lineup. So the thriller joins a slate of already shot international TV shows the network is using to pad its lineup amid the coronavirus shutdown of Hollywood. So if you're a big fan of Patrick Dempsey, good news. He is making his way back to the CW in a new show called Devils.
No, that's not the Patrick Dempsey I want.
What?
I don't want to see him in a thriller role. What? I want him like heartthrob, romantic, like making me cry every episode because I'm falling so deeply in love for him and who he's falling in love with on TV. I don't want to have jump scares featuring Patrick Dempsey.
Thrillers could be that way.
Like Basic Instinct.
Yeah, I mean they always say that the emotion in humans between being scared and being aroused is very, very close. So, I mean, what if like he gently leans down and kisses you before he stabs you?
Boo. I don't know.
What is he stabbing with? That's important.
Okay. The conversation have shifted.
And so Roku is, as you guys know, has been around for a long time. HBO Max launched last week without any Roku support and integration. Now new numbers from multiple research forums show that might be a problem for new streaming services. So Roku actually dominates viewing time among streaming boxes. The company commands 44% of viewing time, according to research. That more than doubles the biggest competitor, which is the Amazon Fire TV, which maintains about 19% of viewing time. Roku has also grown its viewing time by about 50% over the last year. So when new services like HBO Max launch, but they don't have the support of Roku, it's actually, as it turns out, a pretty big problem for them. So according to the new report, Nielsen data showed in March that 76% of U.S. homes had at least one connected device. By March 30th, total hours spent watching on these devices was up 81% year over year, totaling nearly 4 billion hours of content each week. Isn't
Holy
that unbelievable?
Moly.
Yeah.
So when
when I think of Roku, I don't think about having a Roku. Like, I've got a TV that has it just built into it, but I never use Roku independently. I've got the Apple TVs, and then I've got a couple of the Fire Sticks as well. But yeah, Roku, I had no idea they had that big of a market share.
I love it. I mean, whenever I like am actively seeking out something that's going to be able to be compatible with our devices that we currently have, Roku is like top of mind because they're cheap too. The remotes are cheap. The whole thing, you can get it for like $15.
Yeah. First, I mean, same thing with Fire Sticks. Fire Sticks can be pretty cheap, but like the Apple, because I'm my household's an Apple household, unfortunately, which means I just overpay for literally everything. I love my Apple TV, and I probably watch my Apple TV more than I watch my satellite. You know, I mean, especially over the last 3 months when there has been no sports, I've watched
without question. I don't think I've turned my DirecTV box on in months because
every time I do, it's for the news, and then I just get angry and I turn it off a minute later.
Yeah,
Oh, if you want some nostalgia in your life, Tom and Jerry is on every morning. That's what's going on in our house. It's just like constant
Tom
old
and Jerry,
school
really?
Tom and Jerry. Yeah.
No, that's all right.
A little light and some darkness here.
And to
actually,
round things
Tom
out,
Tom and
about
Jerry's
the,
dark as hell. If you watch some of those things and you're like, oh my God.
But they don't talk.
Why is this cat always trying to brutally murder this mouse?
Always.
He's like trying to blow him up.
Yeah, I mean, just a violent death, and yeah, they're smoking. Like, did you guys bang? Like, what is going on here? Like, is this, was there a Pornhub video with, like, Naughty Kitty that is, you know, trying to kill me with an anvil? I don't know. It just seems a little incestuous. Andy said, to round things out, oh, speaking of Patrick Dempsey, he said, I'll never forget that weird partnership between Patrick Dempsey and Megatron in Transformers 3. Is that true? Was that really the plot line that... Was Patrick Dempsey in Transformers 3, and did he fall in love with Megatron or something?
I don't remember Transformers 3. I gave the first one a shot, and that was it.
That was it for you? Even with Shia LaBeouf in there, you couldn't do it, huh?
Nah. Only Michael Bay movies I watch are Bad Boys.
Bad Boys for life.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave. Why are you following all those thirst traps on Instagram? Why, man? You're better than that.
Message deleted.
I'm not following a bunch of thirst traps on Instagram. What are you talking about? I mean, there's people that I follow on Instagram, but...
For
people
work reasons, right?
No, not for work reasons, because there are people that I know. I mean, like, there's, you know, some, like, you know, thirst trappy type people that do that professionally. But it's, like, I know them. Like, would you call Ariane Celeste a thirst trap on Instagram? Because that, to most people, would be considered a thirst trap, right? No, but, she's...
Yeah, it would.
I've known her for years. Like, she's a good, she's a nice human being. Yes,
but very, very she's nice also person. A thirst trap. Thirst trap.
Right, but like don't shame me for following my friend. What, because they're good-looking women that's all that they have to offer? How dare you, sir? They have more to offer than just being attractive women. They have great personalities. That we do
doesn't
business
mean you can't
together.
Be smart and still thirst trap. Nobody said that.
Yeah, that's right.
But most of the thirst trap people are smart. They have a very high social media IQ.
Yeah, this guy is simply reducing them to boobs on a stick.
But we know we're thirst trapping.
Like, of course you do.
Like, we can tell, like, obviously we have layers. We are onions, as all humans are. But when we're posting those photos, we know what we're doing. Like, we're not stupid.
Also, great point from Andy over in the chat. Why is that dude going through the list of who Dave follows? Excellent question. Why are you thumbing through the people that I'm following on Instagram, you creep?
Yeah, more of a creep than Dave now. Just with that voicemail. What are you doing?
More of a creep than Dave. Man, screw you.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How do you guys feel about, like, showering at someone else's house? It's weird for me. It really is. I can't do it.
Message deleted.
Showering at somebody else's house?
Yeah, like, I don't love showering at somebody else's house.
No, you know, I like showering. You just don't know where your stuff is. House.
You do
no,
want to
like
shower in a hotel
their stuff.
Room.
No, what? I love trying their shampoo.
What?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
My wife bought.
I thought that last guy was weird. Now Audrey's over here, like smelling their loofah in the bathroom. Like,
that's taking it too far. If you use somebody else's loofah in their shower, you are a vile person.
My wife just bought like 2 years worth of shampoo. Because it was on sale.
2 years?
2 years worth.
2 years? What?
Where are you going to store it? What do you mean?
In a closet? In a closet? Under? I mean, what's 2 years worth of shampoo? It's like 10 bottles.
Still,
I mean, like, legitimately.
She bought it
because
it was on sale?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like some
RNC
code.
What's going on? Is she
whatever?
Okay? That was very impulsive.
Yeah.
Is she preparing for another poo pandemic where everyone rushes out and gets the shampoo instead of the...
We had plenty of toilet paper in this house during all that, so we never had to worry. So I'm not...
Bet you
she
did.
Could buy as much of whatever she we wants.
You were my contingency t-shirts. Plan. If I ever ran out, I was just going to go rob Mahoney.
You wouldn't get past my guard.
Washcloths.
Wouldn't get past my guard.
Yeah, I'd give your guard.
I'd call ahead. Do not let Dave fare into my neighborhood.
Six cold chicken wings, and they'd let me right through.
No,
please leave a message after the tone.
What is it about simple typos, either on things like Facebook or even articles online, that make them either so funny or so infuriating? These people work for these companies, and their one job is to write these articles. The least they can do is read through them.
Message deleted.
Fair.
I have very little tolerance for people that that don't know the your. I'm just like, how are you going to put out a post that has your spelled wrong? And then you know that they get called out on it, and they don't go back and change it. Like, I get that you don't change it if it's on Twitter, because you can't, but there's an edit button on Instagram as well as on Facebook. Fix it, man. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, that's embarrassing to me. Your
and yours embarrassing, but the one that I see that is way more, I feel like it is way more prevalent than that, is the lose loose.
Loose. Oh,
yes. God. Loose goose.
Also, when somebody calls somebody a looser, I'm just like,
oh, God. All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
That's right, friends. We are here on Friday once
all
again.
All I want to eat is them barbecue chips.
Beer time.
And we welcome.
All I want is someone just to try to protect us.
It has been a week that has felt like a month, and a month that has felt like a year, and a year that has felt like a decade. But the thing that we look forward to every single week on this show is this thing, beer for breakfast, and it's just an excuse for us to drink and use these as write-offs on our taxes, because this is technically a work expense.
So today we are drinking a beer out of San Diego, California. It's the Hop Concept. This is an IPA, and it tastes very much like an IPA. So, Mahoney, let's get right in here. It's in a green can. For those of you that are listening on the radio, we each have a pint, 16 fluid ounces. San Marcos, California is officially the place that they distinguish themselves to be from. But this is, you said, one of your favorite spots that you came to love when you lived down in San Diego, right?
Yeah, they opened up in May of 2006 down there. When I was living down in San Diego, they had only been open just a little bit over a year, and fell in love with their beers. They were so good. They're co-located with Port Brewing Company, which used to be an old stone brewery back in the day. So I remember they moved into that brewery and amped up production, and their beers have just been phenomenal. And they, you know, while we were dealing with the quarantine and the lockdown and all that, one of my friends is friends with them over there, and I said, hey, can you see if they could send me a care package, because liquor stores weren't open at the time. And they did, and now here we are drinking one of their latest, most interesting beers. It's a project, like Dave said, called the Hop Concept, and this is just a straight up IPA, and I believe it's 6.3% ABV. So nice, easy, not too heavy,
This is like their flagship, though, right? I mean, so their whole company is named the Hop Concept, or that's
it's a side project. It's like a super band. Like when you get like Paul McCartney and you get Tom Petty together, and you get the Traveling Wilburys. This beer is the Traveling Wilburys of craft beer.
So
let's
cheers here and take a poll, and we'll jump into the five categories that we normally go through. And since Mahoney, you and I are synced up for the first time in a long time on this beer, let's talk about some of the characteristics that we're enjoying with it. First off, I mean, you get a lot of the hops up front, but there's a lot of fruit in there as well.
Oh, yeah. And, then, you know, if you read on the side of the can, they say this is made with Mosaic, which is one of my absolute favorite hops. Anything with, like, Mosaic hops in it, I am all about. And also Idaho 7, which is kind of a newer, you know, it's a hop that's not used nearly as much, but I'm loving it. And this one, they say you get aromas of tangerine peel and lemon, which I definitely do get tangerine. Compared to, you know, like even the Tangerine Express we had from Stone a few weeks back, I feel like this has more tangerine flavors in it than the Stone. Yeah, personally.
Because that one's punching your face, tangerine. Mm-hmm. Stone is.
And we would have brought Audrey one, but she is currently on keto, and we are not we don't peer pressure here.
That's right. Yeah.
But I am doing a twisted grapefruit soda water, so I have some hints of citrus as well.
That's good.
And also,
One final thought about the way that this beer drinks is that you get a bunch of that like big rush of flavor up front, but yes. then it really just dries out, doesn't it? I mean, it's like it almost leaves you wanting more because it has such a dry finish to it. So it's an interesting balance where it's almost abrupt, you know, where you get this big rush of flavors, and then for me at least, it seems to like really dry out, and you want to take another pull of it. But it's not too much of that back and forth, which I like.
Dave, do you have your glass open? Let's, because I'm drinking out of a can, OG style. So can you describe what your beer looks like? So
sure,
it's not hazy.
No,
no,
it's
a
good amount of carbonation.
It looks like a lager, but yeah, I mean, you can kind of see the carbonation as I hold it up.
Nice straw yellow.
But yeah, it's just very, very simple looking beer, but it's got a big, big flavor profile to it. So that's the actual smell of it. It smells good.
Great description there, Dave. No, I mean, you get a little bit of the hops, but it's more of a sweetness in there, and you get some of that fruit that you get in the mouthfeel. I feel like we should take another big drink of this because, honestly, as far as good solid IPAs go, and I don't know how long the guys from Lost Abbey have been doing stuff in cans, but it's so weird for me to see even one of their side projects in cans.
You don't know how long they've been doing stuff in cans?
Yeah, I mean, mostly they have like corked bottles, so
oh,
it's like
yes,
they
yes,
they, sure. they are fancy. They like when you drink one of their beers, you have their you keep the pinky out because you want to feel fancy when you're drinking it.
Well, I think it is a delightful beer. I am almost out of it though. So, do you want to do your rating now, or do you want to go through a couple of more of the? Do you want to talk about the flavor yourself?
The flavor. This is not a super complex. It's not a super complex IPA, but it's a very good IPA. That Idaho 7 in there, I think that's that's a hop that I'm not super familiar with, but I'm definitely tasting those Mosaic hops in there that give it a wonderful flavor. It's light bodied. It doesn't drink too hard, and even after this beer's been open probably for about 45 minutes, even as it warms up, it's just as good. This is a phenomenal IPA all the way around. I'm a big fan of the guys down there at Lost Abbey, so if you ever have a chance, if you're in San Diego or in the surrounding areas where they distribute, check them out. Dave, can I get a drum roll?
Indeed, you can, my friend. No, yeah, actually, here we go. Right here.
Boom! Mahoney's Beer's Guest Supremacy, I get the hot concert! Partnership with Lost Abbey Brewing. A 4.1 out of 5.
Pretty strong.
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers.
Beer for breakfast every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Vermont State Police say a Massachusetts man is in big trouble for throwing a pickle out of a car window and hitting a traffic worker. Who throws a pickle? First off, pickles, delicious. Not to be
amazing.
That's sacrilege to throw your pickle at somebody. But secondly, when I first saw this, I thought this was an innuendo. It's not. It's an actual pickle. The trooper said this guy, whose name is Christoph, he's 34 years old, he's from Massachusetts, was driving. He was a passenger in a car down Route 7, and shortly before 6 p.m. on a Monday, he threw a large pickle out the window, and it hit a 59-year-old dude named Carl, who is a Virginia transportation employee who was working there, and it, quote, caused him pain. He was cited and had to show up in court on a charge of simple assault for throwing a pickle. Like, how do you eat? So imagine the scene, right? You're driving down the road. You're in the passenger seat of the car. Some dude named Carl, the 59-year-old dude, pisses you off for whatever reason, and you're going to throw the pickle. Like, how much heat can you possibly get on a pickle? Because I mean, you're in the passenger seat, so if you're
right-handed, throw like a baton.
But if you're in the passenger seat, you'd have to put your arm out the window, so you wouldn't even be able to wind up, right? Because otherwise,
you're still moving at however many fast miles an hour. I mean, that pickle is traveling at however fast your car is moving. So if you're going 30 miles an hour, that pickle has an initial velocity of 30 miles an hour, David. Simple physics.
Why are we assuming that this is an actual giant pickle? It's just like little tiny, like the hamburger ones.
No, that's, I mean, it'd be way funnier point, if it was like one of those little gherkins, which that's what
the,
a tiny pickle is.
Yeah,
that's or little, just like the little which teeny, sounds really, tiny, like, circle.
Wait.
You
know what I'm talking about?
You talking about like off a Chick-fil-A sandwich or something? Like
yeah,
a McDonald's
just like
sandwich?
Yeah, flapping them.
Oh, no.
Just sticks to his forehead.
Yeah, right on his eyes, like Boondock Saints style.
So you guys ready for the headline of the week already? Here we go. Spanish police have arrested three people, including a well-known porn actor, in connection with the death of a photographer who they think died from inhaling toad venom during a ceremony. So the fatal ceremony, which took place in July of last year, involved a Spanish porn actor whose first name is Nacho Vidal, and resulted in the death of a fashion photographer. Again, they were inhaling toad venom, and this guy actually died. And so this porn actor, who's known for selling replicas of his junk that are actually candles, has since been arrested and put in jail.
Sensual.
Yeah, right. And finally, one guy was complaining because his home air conditioner inside of his house was kind of hissing. And so he's like, what is making noise? Anyone know where this is going?
Was it
the
snakes?
Raccoon?
No, it was snakes. Mahoney nailed it there. No. They opened up his air conditioning unit, again, the one inside of his house, and found 40 snakes slithering around inside.
No, nope,
trying to stay
I'm
cool,
moving.
Man. Burning
the whole
place
cool. down. Nope, burning it down.
They were able to extract the snakes with the help of neighbors and release the reptiles into a nearby wooded area.
No,
a local
no.
vet said the mother snake had apparently laid eggs inside of the air conditioner, and it had not been used for several months, but now that the weather is getting warmer, had to turn it on. They had recently hatched. Opened it up, 40 baby snakes just all over the place.
Oh, hell no. And then you just release those into the wild, and they're, like, gonna come back. They know where their home was.
Yeah, like, they're gonna make the pilgrimage back to the AC unit, so... Good luck with that.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.